Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A portion of God's word for our consideration this morning is taken from our Gospel, Luke chapter 1. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips that my mouth may declare your praise. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Are you tired yet? Are you tired of standing in the long lines? Are you tired of rushing from this party to that event? Are you tired of all the hustle and the bustle? Are you ready for all of this to simply just be over? If you're feeling that way, you're certainly not alone. Plenty of people feel that way, especially at this time of year when they've spent all of this time preparing. Because there comes a point in time when there's just no more preparations that can be made, when nothing else can be crammed in. There comes a point in time when all we can do is just stop and relax. Friends, we've reached that point. Our final checklist item for getting ready for Christmas is simply to relax and receive. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is going to show us how this is done. What does Mary do this morning? She does nothing except receive God's grace. Luke writes, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin pledged in marriage to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. This is not the first time that we've been introduced to this messenger Gabriel. That name angel actually means messenger, and that's exactly what Gabriel has been doing. The first time we meet Gabriel is in the Old Testament as he helps Daniel to understand a message that he was given. More recently, we saw Gabriel talking to Zechariah, the husband of Elizabeth, as he was explaining to him that they were about to have a child. And that was exactly 6 months before we see Gabriel coming to talk to Mary. And so it's in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy that Gabriel comes to Mary, the last place that you would expect him to be. The last place that you would expect an angel to give a message that is so spectacular. He sent Gabriel to Nazareth. He sent Gabriel to a young woman who was pledged to be married to a poor carpenter. But most importantly, he sent Gabriel to a virgin. Do you see what God is doing here in setting this scene? He's making it abundantly clear that there is nothing special about the place and nothing special about the person, at least from a worldly point of view. A young virgin girl from a backwater town in northern Israel was about as unspectacular as you could get. Yet this is where God sent Gabriel to give a spectacular message. All the credit goes to God. All the glory goes to God. Man does nothing except simply receive. And we see that truth again and again as we hear Gabriel and Mary talk. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." Gabriel begins with the familiar greeting, much in the same way that we would say hello or hi. And then he says two things that give glory to God. First, he says, "You who are highly favored." And isn't the first question that comes to our mind, why? Why is Mary favored? Well, certainly nothing that Mary had done. No, Mary was favored for the same reason that you and I are favored. You see, that word favor is the same word that the Bible translates as grace. It was God's undeserved love, the exact opposite of what Mary deserved kind of love that she received. That's what Gabriel says was given to Mary, the exact opposite of what she deserved. In fact, Gabriel says that God has been in the past and will continue in the future to shower this grace on Mary. And then he says to her, "The Lord is with you." What a wonderful comfort for any believer to hear. God has promised to be with his believers always. What a wonderful reassurance for Mary that God was keeping this promise as he was about to keep another promise. And Mary needed that reassurance. Notice how she reacts to these wonderfully comforting gospel words. But she was greatly troubled by the statement and was wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Perhaps that seems a little bit odd. Why would Mary be troubled to hear that God was favoring her, that he was showering his grace upon her, and that he was going to be with her? But look who's sharing that message with Mary. Just like Zechariah before her, just like the shepherds after her, and just like every other sinner who's in the presence of someone holy, Mary was troubled. Mary knew that she was sinful. Mary knew that sinfulness and holiness don't go together. And so Mary wondered. She wondered, what is going on here? And she kept asking herself, why is this holy angel in my house? What is God going to do to me? But Gabriel didn't let Mary's fears linger. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, because you have found favor with God." With the same exact words that he used in his initial greeting, Gabriel again points Mary to God's undeserved love, to his grace for her. Mary had no reason to fear God's judgment because instead he was giving her his love. Instead of what Mary deserved because of her sin, God was giving her the exact opposite. She received grace. And the same is true for us. Each and every time that we come before God, we should be petrified because of our sins. And yet, like Mary, we have found favor with God. It's by God's grace alone that we have been saved, not because we have earned it or deserved it, for if that were true, it would no longer be grace. No, it is only God's love for us. It is only because God has chosen to love us that we are saved. It's that message, that message of God's grace, that allowed Mary to relax and receive. Listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. And there it is in full detail. God had promised Adam and Eve that he would send them a champion who would crush the serpent's head. In the Old Testament, he revealed other prophecies that gave additional details, but now God pulls back the curtain and lets us see in full what he had promised. The virgin who would give birth would be Mary. Her son would be the Son of God, and his name Jesus, which means the Lord is salvation. Descended from David through both Mary and Joseph, Jesus would be that promised ruler, the one he promised to David in our first lesson, who would fulfill all of God's promises. Now, how would you react to such an announcement if you were in Mary's place? Naturally, Mary is dumbfounded. She's confused. But she never doubted that it would happen. Unlike Zechariah, who questioned Gabriel, Mary simply asks for an explanation. She says to the angel, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" Do you remember what happened to Zechariah when he doubted, when he questioned Gabriel? He was unable to talk until John was born and he had written down his name on that tablet. Notice the difference in Gabriel's response to Mary. The angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Listen, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, even though she was called barren. And this is her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible for God." Immediately, Gabriel answers her question, and not only that, he gives her a sign, even though she didn't ask for one. He revealed to Mary that her relative Elizabeth, who had been barren, who was well past the age of childbearing, was now pregnant. God had made the impossible possible for Elizabeth and Zechariah. He was now about to do the same for Mary. There are two different words in the Greek language that we would translate as the English word. The most common one is logos, which conveys a clear meaning with a clear message. That's not the word that God inspired Mary to use here. God inspired her to use that other Greek word, and that Greek word is rhema. And rhema means a sound that the full meaning of that sound is not completely understood. So listen to what Mary says now. She says, "See, I am the Lord's servant. May it happen to me as you have said." May it happen to me by your rhema, is what Mary says. Well, what does that mean? It means that Mary didn't fully understand or comprehend what was going on here. She didn't fully grasp everything the angel had said. She didn't fully understand the implication of all this. All she knew is that the message came from God and that whatever he was about to give, even his only begotten son, she was ready to receive. Friends, we can't begin to think that we can fully grasp everything that God says to us in his word. How the Holy Spirit could come upon Mary and cause her to conceive and bear the Son of God is beyond our comprehension. But that's okay. We need not fret that everything in the Bible doesn't fit neatly into our logic and reason. We need not worry needlessly. We simply need to relax and receive the grace that God is giving us. You see, all the preparations have been made. God has used his law to confront us and convict us of our sins. We've contemplated those sins. We felt sorrow for those sins. And we trust that God has forgiven those sins because he's promised to do so. All that's left is simply to relax and receive. Relax and receive the grace that God gives us. Relax and receive the Son whom he sends to us in his word. Relax and receive the very body and blood of Jesus in his sacrament. And then, like Mary, may God move us to respond to God's grace by placing our whole selves at his disposal as his servants, as we cling to his promises. Friends, the time has come to simply relax and receive. And so we pray, O come, Emmanuel. Amen.